This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Republican Congressman from Utah, Chris Stewart, voted for the bill today and helped to work out the differences between the House and Senate versions. He sits on the House Intel Committee and joins us now live. Great to have you with us, Congressman.
Good evening.
What do you make? So much of what I've read about this bill talks about all the things that are plugged into it in both versions that are really a pushback against Russia and China. What's in there and why is that important right now?
Well, there are so many good things in it. And I think, you know, I was a former Air Force pilot. I flew combat rescue helicopters and the B-1. When I was flying, we had something like 157 fighter squadrons. We have 58 today. When I was in the military, we had something like 350,000, almost about 330,000 troops in all of Europe. We got about 35,000 today. And Vladimir Putin looks at that and he just laughs. It's not a serious deterrent to him. It just simply isn't. The European Defense Initiative that's part of this bill is a very, very important part of saying to Russia in a serious way, we know what your intentions are. Crimea, the western, eastern part of Ukraine, his threats towards other former Warsaw Pact countries. And it says to him, we're going to take you seriously and you need to take us seriously. And China as well. Again, if you think national defense matters, and it is, after all, the fundamental responsibility of the federal government, this was a good bill.
How concerned are you about the issue of cyber attacks from those two potentially bad actors and others?
Yeah, well, you can't look at the world around us and not be concerned about cyber. And a lot of people think, well, you know, if we have a cyber attack, that means I don't get to go shopping at Amazon for a few hours. Oh, my gosh, it would be so much worse than that. The potential for it to be disruptive. If you imagine losing our entire electrical grid for weeks. You know, your refrigerator doesn't work. You can't pump gas into your car. You're probably not going to work. Hospitals, emergency generators have run out of fuel. It would be an enormously impactful thing for our country. And it's absolutely possible from some of those nations that you mentioned, and Iran and North Korea, to name just a few others. Cyber is as many have indicated, it is the modern warfare, and we can't ignore the serious implications of it.
Yeah, and how much, as somebody who served there yourself, how much does this mean to the men and women of our military and their families as well? Because, you know, we hear these stories about them not being able to afford basic necessities and school issues and things for their kids that none of us in America would ever think that that's acceptable, that these folks who are giving voluntarily so much of their own lives should have to have those kinds of economic worries.
No doubt about it. And look, these are the best young men and women that our nation produces, those serving in the military. And far too often, Shannon, over the previous administration, they held hostage the defense spending. There were many times it wasn't reauthorized in September the way it should have been. And it became a political ping pong. And these people were used as pawns in that. In fact, I think us passing the defense authorization bill today, I think it's the earliest we've done it in the year in something like 20 or 25 years. And that's an important message to send to our military, to these young men and women. We know you're there. We care about you. We want to pay you adequately. We don't want to use you as political pawns. I think they're looking at that. They're not foolish. They understand what's happening in Congress. They can see. And I think they look at this today, and I'm sure they're grateful for it.
Well, the House vote, I believe, if I've got this right, 359 to 54. That means you had a lot of bipartisan support for getting this done.
Yeah.
Does it bode well for any other major things getting done after the recess?
Well, let us hope so. I mean, at least we can agree on national defense. But once again, in the past, we haven't had such a bipartisan vote on this. And it reflects really months of intense effort. Mm-hmm. And mentioning something very quickly, not just Russia, but China, too, something that I worked on very intently. That is, China can't destroy us unless we help them. But we have been helping them. They've been stealing our technology, but many times we've been giving them technology. And there's elements in this bill that we work on, again, from the Intelligence Committee, very intently to make it much, much harder for China to come in and take this technology or for us to give it to them.
Yeah, and we've heard a lot of bipartisan support on that point as well. Congressman, thank you for your service in the service and now on Capitol Hill as well. Good to see you tonight.
Thank you. You're kind.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Live.
That's how we roll, and that's what it's all about. Not a Republican or Democratic thing. It's a we the people kind of thing, right? It's what's Main Street America is talking about on the dining tables across this great country of ours. But it requires that all of us participate. We got to man the oars, as Lou Euler said. We've got oars to man, and we're going to get behind it. But right now it's time to take a break. One of my favorite authors who I just love his sense of humor. And I love the way he approaches things, and he's done another great job with his latest book, Hope Never Dies. Andrew Schaefer is with us, New York Times bestselling author of 50 Shames of Earl Grey and Other Malarkey. He lives in one of my favorite towns as well, Lexington, Kentucky. I mean, you got it made, Andrew. I mean, Lexington, I mean, you're there with all the horses and the beautiful people there and the bluegrass. I mean, what else do you need?
I mean, yeah, we have the bourbon and everything. If I only drank bourbon, you know, it would be great.
Well, it would just add to all the frivolity and everything else. And I used to have offices right across from UK there, off of Nicholasville Road. So it was good fun. A lot of great memories there. So, hey, Hope Never Dies. I mean, we're talking a post White House adventure here. The president and Joe Biden. You know, what do they do? So you come up with a storyline. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was about a week after they were out of office, and you saw Barack Obama going around the world, hang gliding, jet skiing, mm-hmm. hanging out with Richard Branson, right. Hanging out with Justin Trudeau, and he was on the certification to end all vacations. And some people said, well, what are Michelle and the kids doing? But I thought, you know, what's Joe doing?
Exactly. Poor Joe. Let's not forget Joe.
I know. Here's this guy. They had lunch together once a week for 8 years. They had a very close relationship, and he was out of the spotlight pretty much. I mean, and so I just thought he's probably at home, you know, watching his former best friend here, so to speak, run around the globe with having new best friend auditions all along.
Yeah, what happened? He didn't get an invite?
I know. I mean, he's, you know, Joe doesn't seem like the jet skiing kind of guy, but
yeah.
So I had this idea. I said, well, what could be going on here? And eventually it boiled down to, I had to find a way to sort of reunite them mm-hmm. in a fictional sort of sense, because I knew, immediately that, we're not going to see them together on a stage for a long time, probably until the midterms here, I think.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I just said, I want to do something. And immediately I thought, you know what brings people together? A good murder mystery.
what a great idea. So here we got the sleuthful Joe Biden. Who would have thunk?
Yeah. Yeah. Joe Biden, he looks sort of like an action hero with those sunglasses on. Mm-hmm. Until he opens his mouth, of course.
And, or he gets close to the women.
Or he gets close, yeah. Joe Biden, he's got, let's say he's got some issues that, but they actually play in his favor for being a noir detective. Mm-hmm. So war detectives are often very sort of gruff, but in this instance, he's a little bumbling too. Mm. So it was just a fun character to really play with and do a first-person narrative from Joe Biden's perspective. And meanwhile, Barack Obama is sort of the smarter than everyone, too cool for school. He's a little aloof. But he has this information that Joe Biden wants about this murder. His favorite Amtrak conductor's been murdered. So that's what sort of brings them back together in the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, the memes about this, what you call bromance, you know, have outlasted Barack Obama and Joe Biden's time in office. So what is it about this particular friendship that, you know, resonates with the people?
Well, I think people can see that it's a genuine friendship, and it didn't start off that way, you know, because they did not really like each other in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Joe thought that Barack Obama was this old stick in the mud, or this young whippersnapper, and then mm-hmm. Barack Obama thought Joe was this, you know, stick in the mud. They didn't like each other's policies. They thought each other was somewhat corrupt from, you know, Barack's from the Windy City. How do you get out of there, you know,
mm-hmm. right.
with a clean record?
and not be jailed.
Yeah. And Joe Biden is the you know, senator from Delaware, where over, you know, it's a tax shelter state. So for over half of all Fortune 500 companies. So mm-hmm. you know, he thought that guy's not clean, but you know, together they worked together as president and vice president and became close over the years, and I think people saw that they had a genuine genuine friendship start to form there across sort of lines, and they go, oh, the other person's not who I thought. And you almost have a feeling that you don't see that now because we're so, you know, cloistered with our Facebook. If someone slightly disagrees with you, you're like, oh, I'm unfriended.
You're unfriended. Exactly.
Yeah. And you just don't, it's almost a different era. And then you go, oh, that's like 8 years ago. You know, it's not. Not that long ago.
Exactly. Well, you know, for you to, you know, whether you write a book or you're doing a movie, you know, there's a lot of character development that goes into it, and that requires research. So what kind of research did you have to do for Hope Never Dies?
You know, I read all the books that I could get on Joe Biden and Barack Obama, every book on Delaware, which is where it takes place. So I read both of those. It was a lot of research, but at a certain point I had to just say, you know, enough research and just kind of make up, you know, the characters, because they have to be different than the real Barack Obama and Joe Biden, because the real Joe Biden is, he's a very wonky guy. He's kind of fun-loving, but he's also, you know, apt to talk for 20, 30 minutes at a time about policy. And that's just, you know, no one's going to sit through a book for reading that.
No. It's not thick enough. And as you say, you don't want your book to become a doorstop.
No. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say anything about the book, but The President is Missing by Bill Clinton. there was quite a bit of wonky, you know, policy talk and stuff in that book. You can hear Bill Clinton's voice very, you know, very clearly through that.
Yeah, right, exactly. So here you go through, you do all this research. Just in the process of the research, any interesting factoids that you picked up along the way of note?
You know, the most interesting stuff I picked up on is, you know, probably the most boring for the listeners, though, but I loved reading about Amtrak. And because it's the murder of an Amtrak conductor in the book, and there's a big climax with Joe Biden hanging off the edge of an Amtrak train by his fingers.
What is he like? So, like an older Tom Cruise version, Mission Impossible kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
You hear the music, you get music in the background as he's hanging on.
I mean, Tom Cruise is getting up there. He's probably about Joe Biden's age by now. I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's 50 and still does most of his... most of his stunts. I think this last one, is reportedly broke an ankle.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. So, for us older guys, it's an inspiration. I mean, why not? Hey, give up an ankle for, you know, all those mega millions of dollars that you raise in doing those movies. Maybe Biden. I mean, Biden would give up an ankle for, you know, several million dollars. Why not?
Oh, absolutely.
In a heartbeat, right?
Donate to charity.
Hey, here we are. We're having some fun with
Andrew Schaefer, New York Times best-selling author. His new present to all of us, Hope Never Dies. If you wonder what happened to Barack Obama and Joe Biden post-White House, well, Andrew takes some liberty here. And we'll talk more about it. Stay with us. 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
Who has the only raw living whole plant hemp CBD extract in the world? MetaHemp Solutions, a radically innovative approach to hemp CBDs for exceptional results. Why? Because they contain absolutely all the elements present in the original plant. All our hemp CBD products are independently lab tested for potency and purity and manufactured in our FDA registered facility. Try it today. 10% off with coupon code GCN10. Call 833-858-7500. That's 833-858-7500. Or buy MetaHemp Solutions today at metahempsolutions.com. That's metahempsolutions.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 55 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. That's BEST 55 to 443-443.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez, live.
I am counting every blessing. Counting every blessing.
The way you like us, fresh and independent every day at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. We come to you 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, Monday through Friday.
We're talking with Andrew Schaefer, New York Times bestselling author, and his new book, Hope Never Dies. Let's set it up here a little bit. You know, America needs a hero, and we've got two of them. Yes, it's been several months since the 2016 presidential election, and Uncle Joe Biden is puttering around the house, grouting the tile in his master bathroom, feeling lost and adrift in America that doesn't make sense anymore. Are you there with him? Can you feel his pain? Well, but when his favorite Amtrak conductor dies in a suspicious accident, Joe feels a familiar desire to serve, and he leaps into the role of amateur sleuth with a little help from his old friend, President Barack Obama. Codename. Got to have a codename for the president. Renegade. Together, they're going to plumb the darkest depths of Delaware, traveling from cheap motels, that's hard to imagine, to biker bars and beyond as they uncover the sinister forces advancing America's opioid epidemic. You cover just about everything here, Andrew. You know, we love fiction, and especially like this, because it gives us a chance to chuckle a bit at a time when we need to.
Yeah, it's I think that, like I said, it's the, you feel like you're in such a partisan era right now, and mm-hmm. and it's just hard for any people to go, how can you laugh, you know, when we're so divided? But I think there's a lot of stuff that brings us together, and I really don't have much politics in the book, which is kind of
surprising.
I mean, so I've had a lot of people read it and say, oh, well, you know, I guess you don't have to be of one sort of persuasion. I mean, I think, you know, we all know it will appeal more to certain people, but
yeah.
But I think that, you know, it's a book that anyone can pick up and just say, you know, it's a love story, like Lethal Weapon, you know.
Yes, exactly. Yes. As you say, part action thriller, part mystery, part bromance. And you say, just to be clear, 100% fiction, Hope Never Dies, imagines life after the Oval Office for two of America's greatest heroes. Together, they'll prove that justice has no term limits. I think that we got to get out of this rut for the sake of our own sanity, because this rut of partisanship that we're in, you know, it's good to have passion. I believe in that. But, you know, we have to realize that there's life outside of those nine dot paradigms that are, you know, kind of enslaving us right now and robbing us of a sense of humor just a bit.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. And so yeah, this is just a chance to sort of turn off the news, you know, leave it tuned to wherever you're listening to Bill Martinez Live, of course,
right.
But
exactly. Thank you.
You know, and sort of, you know, I close my eyes and I see like a scroller feed going across the bottom some days. That's how, you know, tuned into the news we are.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no need for me to know what's going on minute by minute, you know, in the news. So I think that that's sort of what the book is supposed to be, is sort of an antidote to that. And,
yeah.
and it has a message. It sounds like a joke, but the message is, you know, hope never dies, and that, you know, and that's something that the characters in the book, Obama and Biden, struggle with, was, you know, does everything we work for, you know, does it just get reversed by the next administration? And then, you know, in 8 years, does theirs get reversed? You know, it's just, it asks these sort of questions about, you know, mortality and legacy. And I think it's a little bit deeper than some people might be expecting.
Uh-huh. That part, some people might say, would lean a little political. But I think that it goes to the very heart of what we're all about, as you say, is our mortality. And, you know, what happens, you know, once we leave this planet? Is it all subject to change? Do we have an impact? Is there, is that all there is, as Peggy Lee's saying? That goes way before you were born, by the way, so that's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm totally familiar. Yeah, those are the questions that it sort of asks, and so I think it's a fun book, but it also has sort of that deeper side to it,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that was something that was sort of missing from my last book, which was a satire of a reality television show becoming president,
mm-hmm.
Called Day of the Donald. I did not realize how prophetic that book was going to be. And I realized there's a reason why George Orwell set his satire, you know, 35 years into the future instead of 6 months, because it becomes dated very
quickly. That future could come upon you pretty quick. But maybe down the road you could have a revival like George Orwell with that book too, maybe.
Oh my gosh, you never know. But yeah, so this book, yeah, it takes place in a defined part of the, you know, of the timeline here. It's historical fiction, recent historical fiction, you could say. But it's very different than, and it has a little bit more heart, I think, than, you know, than a satire would have.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned earlier, Amtrak travel, and of course, we knew that the vice president loved Amtrak. and so what did you do for your research? Did you find yourself on a train more times than you wanted to be?
I wish, because you can get a lot of work done on the train.
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately, being in Lexington, Kentucky, to get over to the trains and stuff, it was just not feasible with the time schedule I had. So I did a lot of research on YouTube, and you go, YouTube, what did you see on there? Oh, my goodness. People love trains, and they love to film their rides and film the trains as they go by, and all of that, is out there on YouTube. You can kind of get virtual tours. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is, I don't have to leave my house to do research.
Exactly. So anything special that you learned in your study there of the rail system?
You know, I learned that, you know, like Amtrak doesn't even own the tracks themselves. They're owned by the rail companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, the rail companies give priority to their own, the freight. And so when you have a passenger like Amtrak train on there, it doesn't get priority, and so that's why the delays are oftentimes. But, you know, Amtrak has to go to their own customers and apologize. Sorry, we're late. Sorry, we're delayed.
Right.
You know, and really it's the railroad company.
It's just the system that they're on. Yeah, exactly. I mean, all these times are estimates, right?
Yeah, no, it's so inefficient, and I get the frustration that people have because they have I rode my first the same Amtrak train that Joe rides in the book, the Acela Express, this week, and it was delayed like an hour and a half getting to me. So I thought that was very fitting.
Yeah, exactly. That's you don't drink, but that's what can make you comfortable and help you put up with it. You've made a career out of writing satire and parodies. We talked about great success with your previous book, 50 Shames of Earl Grey. So what drew you to the genre?
It's the genre I've always read. And it's funny because, I'd written like 9 books before this, really, that were all over the place. One was a ghost hunting guide for Ghostbusters. Another was about how to survive a Sharknado for the Sci-Fi Channel. Really goofy books. But what I read is Elmore Leonard, Lawrence Block, Donald Westlake, really fun mysteries and thrillers. Mm-hmm. And so it just took me that long, I guess, to come up with an idea that matched, you know, my writing sensibility with the kind of stuff that I really enjoy reading.
Mm-hmm. So going forward, do you anticipate? I mean, I got to imagine a guy like Donald Trump. He is such a surprising political figure, even as you realized. There's just got to be an incredible amount of material just waiting to be written on that.
Oh, I'm sure there is, but I'm going on to book 2 of this series right now. Hopefully.
Oh, okay. Okay. We got to, and next we may see it on the big screen just for fun, huh?
You might. I'm working on that right now.
Well, good fun. Well, we look forward to your other projects. As you say, Joe and Barack will write again because, as we know, as the title of this book says, hope never dies, right?
Right.
Well,
so great talking to you again.
Yeah, always, Andrew. Thank you so much for coming on. New York Times bestselling author Andrew Schaefer. His book, of course, available at all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Hope never dies. Yes, the saga, the sleuthful saga, and yes, it is fiction of one Barack Obama and Joe Biden. After all, there is life after the White House. Andrew, thanks again for coming on. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance. insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A rosy report on the U.S. economy, the U.S. gross domestic product, or GDP, the government's best measure of economic activity, grew by an estimated 4.1% in the year's second quarter, the best number since 2014. President Trump says in remarks just outside the White House a short time ago,
each point means approximately $3 trillion and 10 million jobs. Think of that.
The president also confirming that North Korea has returned the remains of American soldiers who died over 60 years ago in the Korean War.
At this moment, a plane is carrying the remains of some great fallen heroes from America back from the Korean War.
A repatriation ceremony set for August 1st, and this is USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in light. First thing you live in color. I see the world your way. And I'm walking in the light.
Hey, we're back with the America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, and with us right now is Mark Brumley. Great to have him here with us. We're going to talk about faith and politics. Mark, of course, a little bit of his background here, if I can locate all my information. He is the president of the board of directors of Guadalupe Associates and chief executive officer for Ignatius Press, associate publisher of IgnatiusInsight.com, also oversees magazines for Ignatius Press, project coordinator for Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, and is editor of the Ignatius Press Modern Apologetics Library. Mark, you're just not busy enough. I think you need some more stuff on your curriculum vitae here, man. What's going on? Are you just like slacking?
Yeah, I know. I need to come on your show and talk about faith and politics.
Yeah, man, we'll break it up a little bit to demonstrate that, hey, you are a busy man still, and, hey, we appreciate the time to talk about faith and politics. Give us some background on this.
Well, this is a book of selected writings by Joseph Ratzinger, formerly Pope Benedict XVI. Now we call him Pope Benedict and Pope Emeritus Benedict.
Yes.
And basically, it's writings he's written, things he's written on politics and faith and the role that faith plays or should play and to help in helping to shape our response to politics in the political community.
I got to tell you, I really, you know, I always appreciated Benedict, if I can say, his intellect and what he brought at a time when I think was needed. I mean, you know, during his tenure, even before becoming Pope, you know, what he had to offer, you know, for Catholics and for the leadership of the Church.
Absolutely. And we tend to think of faith and politics are the two things you don't talk about in polite
company, right?
Yeah, in fact, that's what they say about this radio show. They say, what are you doing? You're talking faith and politics on this radio show. Go ahead.
That's right. But his idea, obviously, he is not trying to, tell people what their political agenda should be. What he's trying to do is explain or present principles to help us understand how our faith relates to the political sphere. So, obviously politics is very important. It has to do with how we manage our common life together here on earth.
Exactly.
And our moral values, our spiritual values should come into play, in determining that. On the one hand. On the other hand, there's a tendency among some people to kind of absolutize politics, to kind of make them into a religion so that they make absolute claims, so that our political views, come to make absolute claims on our lives. And of course, that's a problem.
Exactly.
From a Catholic point of view, it's just a kind of another form of idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
So Pope Benedict wants to make sure that we do as Jesus said, which is to render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's,
mm-hmm.
and to render unto God's what is God's. Don't give to Caesar what belongs to God. And don't treat the things of God as if they were the things of Caesar. So mm-hmm. that distinction that the Lord makes in the Gospels is really important.
Well, we are in the world, not of the world, and you have to know the demarcation between faith and politics. Your faith is to affect politics, not the other way around. What we find today, based on research, more and more is the culture is infecting our faith, and we end up compromising our faith values. And I think that you have, people repenting as a result of this and realizing, as you just pointed out, Mark, sometimes we can get so overboard with this stuff is that we've exchanged one for another. And you talk about a poor exchange. I mean, you're going to exchange your faith for politics, for a political passion. Boy, that's a disaster getting ready to happen.
Right. And, of course, we should put this into context. Joseph Ratzinger, mm-hmm. formerly Pope Benedict,
mm-hmm.
Joseph Ratzinger was a young, in fact, he was a teenager during the Second World War, and he was drafted by the Nazis and forced to serve in the military, as were a lot of young people, including his brother, George, Georg.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had the direct experience of this exaltation of politics, the political regime, the Nazi party, over God. The Ratzinger family, they were not sympathizers with the Hitler regime, but like everybody else, they were compelled, they were forced to participate in the army. And so this left a profound mark on not just on Ratzinger, but on Europe in general,
exactly,
Germany in particular,
mm-hmm.
that this putting the political order above the spiritual and giving it the status of really divinity, treating as if the state as if it were God, leads to very dangerous things.
Yeah, it really, on so many levels, as we know in retrospect, and what we have discovered was roughly, 10% of the people went along, with, the Third Reich. And went along with it, and look what happened. Look how much damage was created. And not, so roughly you had 90% of the people, you talk about getting along, just to go along, go along to get along. It doesn't take, 50% or a majority of the people to do something as disastrous as what happened in World War II Germany.
That's right. That's right. And so there's an important lesson there for Christians, more generally, and Catholics in particular,
mm-hmm.
to be mindful of the political order, how we should respond to the political order, to not invest any party or particular politician with an absolute authority so that we're not willing to criticize or subject that political philosophy to the scrutiny of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Very important that we keep our, as you said earlier, that we keep our priorities straight. We're faced with that challenge here in America. Of course, more broadly, Christians around the world, lots of different political situations they find themselves in, are faced with that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
We're blessed in America. We have relative political freedom. But in a lot of countries, Christians don't have that freedom. They live in what are, in effect, totalitarian regimes, and they're persecuted for their faith. So we should be appreciative of the blessings we have in this country and not take them for granted. And that means not just assume that everything's going to continue on as it has, but to think about our political choices and in terms of our Catholic values, and get involved with the political sphere, bring our values to bear on
exactly.
the questions of the day.
Well, there's no doubt in today's culture, our faith is under attack. I mean, my goodness, you know, when you have our government going after, you know, the little nuns of the poor, other religious institutions, you know, it's gone a bit overboard. But if people of faith do not push back against the political forces of this culture, I mean, you go back to the very history of this country, and it was people of faith that were the guardrails for the development of this country. I mean, even, you know, was Benjamin Franklin said that if everybody was, you know, an angel, we wouldn't need the Constitution. So the Constitution and laws, in much the same way that God had to give us the Ten Commandments to give us an idea of what sin was to begin with, you know, those institutions, those ideals had to, you know, had to be put into the marketplace and upon the minds and hearts of people. And so it's up to us to take our faith and impact politics, not the other way around.
Absolutely. And, of course, again, the danger is that we will confuse these two things. We're not solidly committed to following Christ. He isn't the number one priority in our life. We all struggle with that. Obviously, we're not
right.
all perfect disciples. But if our basic orientation is to put Christ first in our lives, and then to, you know, listen to the teaching of His church when it comes to our values, our commitments, and so on,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to have this real temptation to, you know, make the whatever the law is the priority, and therefore conform our faith rather than our values shaping our politics.
Exactly. Well, Mark, as you say, we're not perfect, but this is where confession and repentance, you know, comes into play here, and God is always forgiving.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
You're one step away from surrender. One step away from coming home. Coming home.
Bill Martinez live.
Back with the America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Mark Brumley continues with us, president of the board of directors of Guadalupe Associates and chief executive officer for Ignatius Press. He's the author of How Not to Share Your Faith, co-author of A Study Guide to Jesus of Nazareth Holy Week, editor of A Study Guide to Jesus of Nazareth, and a contributor to the five issues that matter most. We're talking Joseph Ratzinger, Benedict XVI, selected writings, faith and politics, with a foreword by Pope Francis. Pope Francis in his foreword states that one of the major themes in the thought of Joseph Ratzinger is the relationship between faith and politics. As Marcus shared earlier, his firsthand experience of Nazi totalitarianism led him, even as a young student, to reflect on the limits of obedience to the state for the sake of the liberty of obeying God. In support of this, he quotes from one of Ratzinger's texts presented in this volume: the state is not the whole of human existence and does not encompass all human hope. I'll tell you, those words, Mark, need to be heard more loudly and clearer than ever because of the current temperament of our political system here in this country today, don't you say?
Yeah, there's a tendency, first of all, because government, our state, deals with very important things, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It's natural that people are going to invest it with significance. They should. It's important. Mm-hmm. Government is important, politics important, so on. But there's a danger if the horizon of your vision is limited to this life and the things of this life, that you run a risk of absolutizing the relative and relativizing the absolute, mm-hmm. treating as absolute our political regime, and then treating the things of God as if they are relative and negotiable. And so, you know, I was listening to the break, and you're talking, the little promo for your show talks about limited government, mm-hmm. and Christianity inherently represents the idea of limited government. Government can't make absolute claims on us, and
right.
The claims of God take priority.
Mm-hmm. Well, and our founding fathers were clear. They wanted to make sure there was a delineation between church and state. Some of that has been overstepped because, you know, in my humble opinion, you've wanted, there was a desire to put a filter over faith and have faith be constrained by politics as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, I think that's true. And, of course, Pope Emeritus Benedict talks about that. He talks about the American society, and one of the great things about our society is this distinction between the order of the church and the order of the state. Not necessarily a separation per se, but it's a distinction, and the state is not the church, and the church is not the state. But nevertheless, because the church is concerned with the fundamental values and commitments of its of the people of the society, it should obviously have a role to play in the values that go to shape the policies and the political stances of a society.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very delicate balance, you know, so that you don't want government legislating religion on the one hand, but on the other hand, you don't want government to be without the values and the vision that religious convictions bring to bear on life.
Yeah, without it. Well, look at this country historically. At just about every major turn, it was people of faith leading the way, was it not?
Absolutely. You know, you can go back to the founding. You can trace that even at the Declaration of Independence. You know, although I wouldn't say Jefferson was, you know, a hyper-devout Christian, nevertheless, he operated from basically a Christian worldview and certain fundamental Christian ideas. Declaration of Independence, when it talks about how we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights.
Mm-hmm.
He roots an understanding of fundamental human rights in the idea that we are created by God, and he talks about the rationale behind the Declaration of Independence being rooted in the laws of nature and nature's God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's clear in the Jeffersonian vision expressed in the Declaration and signed on by all the founders that our society, our notion of human rights, is ultimately tied to our understanding of God and God's role as the Creator. And
exactly.
That's there from the beginning. We haven't always lived up to it, but that's always been part of the American vision. And when we look at things like the abolition movement to get rid of slavery in our country, you see it was inspired primarily by evangelical Christians who saw an incompatibility between the principles of the Declaration of Independence and the vision of the country as espoused by our Constitution and the practice of slavery.
Exactly.
And more recently, in our own time, civil rights movement, pro-life movement in the United States, all of these movements have had religious underpinnings, inspiration derived from our Judeo-Christian tradition.
Yeah, there was one line, you know, if I could be so bold to say that I wish that Jefferson had added, and maybe it was there and taken away, and when he notes that we were created by God in his image, if he'd have put those three words in, what do you think we would have been able to avoid over the years?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Probably would have been helpful to have that spelled out a bit.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting point that Ratzinger makes. He talks about in response to one of the opening Cello Pera, who was the president of the Italian Senate, wrote a book on the church and human rights, and prior to that, wrote a book on Christian faith. And the remarkable thing is that Pera is not a Christian. He's actually an atheist. But he's been in this dialogue with Benedict Ratzinger for many years, and he's come to the conviction that Italian society and Western societies more generally need Christianity. You know, it's only in the Christian context that human rights make sense and are properly contextualized. They have the proper limits.
Right.
Once you take God out of the picture and you take the notion of man, the human person, as made in the image and likeness of God out of the picture, then rights become sort of arbitrary claims,
mm-hmm.
and it's very difficult to make sense on where someone's rights end and someone else's rights begin. And
well, we've reduced it to an opinion, Mark, at that point, right?
Yeah, and it becomes then who's got the most power. We see that in the abortion debate now. You know, who's got more power? Well, obviously, people who are born have more power than unborn children, and people with a political agenda to allow for abortion have more power, at least at the present moment. We'll see what happens.
Mm.
And therefore, might makes right, and the whole notion of the the rights of unborn children and finding a balance between the free, you know, the rights and liberties of the mother and the rights and liberties of the unborn child. That whole notion doesn't make sense in a context where rights are these claims of power that majorities can make on minorities. You see the same thing with Little Sisters of the Poor.
Mm-hmm.
If you have no basic sense of the limitation on political power of the state, then you want to make these nuns conform to the power of the state by forcing them to pay for contraception of all things.
Exactly.
So,
well,
turning to this notion of limited, the limitation on government, the dignity of the individual, and the rights of the individual made in the image and likeness of God, that we can keep a balance.
We're talking with Mark Brumley, president of the board of directors of Guadalupe Associates, chief executive officer for Ignatius Press, discussing Joseph Ratzinger, Benedict XVI, selected writings on faith and politics. I especially was drawn to the third chapter, Politics and Truth, Jesus Before Pilate. Mark, break that down.
Well, of course, this is taken from Joseph Ratzinger's book on Jesus of Nazareth. In this exchange, you know, in the gospel, Jesus is brought before Pilate, and Pilate, you know, says to Jesus, "Don't you know I have the power to crucify you or set you free?" And Jesus says, "You will have no power over me if it weren't given to you from above." So the idea that there's a lawful exercise of authority, but that lawful exercise comes from above. It comes from God. God is the one who allows for the authority of civil authorities and governments and judges and judicial figures and so on. Now you say, well, okay, does that give a blank check then to the state as the minister of God, to echo Paul's words? The answer is no, it doesn't, because the government or the state or the agent of the state is constrained by the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that there is an order of truth, there is an order of justice, truth, justice in the American way.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that rulers just can't do whatever they want, but their power and authority that comes from God needs to be exercised consistent with the truth, with the moral truth, and respect for the dignity of the individual person and his rights to conscience.
Right.
So there's this wonderful exchange between Jesus and Pilate.
We've got about 20 seconds left here, Mark. Go ahead.
Pilate's famous for the question, what is the truth? And Jesus' answer is that he is the truth.
Yes. And he didn't expect that answer. That came out of the wild blue yonder as far as he was concerned. Mark, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations for all the great work you're doing with Ignatius Press. And appreciate the time on talking about faith and politics. This is Bill Martinez.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Healthcare